Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children and anarchists of all ages, welcome to the Dark Lord of the United States of Anarchy podcast. Who am I? I'm the man without a plan, the Dark Lord himself, Nightmare King, giving you unapologetic truth and hardcore facts. If you're looking for celebrity gossip, this is not the podcast for you. This podcast is for real topics and real situations for real people. Don't, and occasionally we have fun over here. If you don't like what I have to say, two words, don't listen. Boycott this podcast, boycott my social media, boycott anything that has my name attached to it. It's that simple, people. And we're back here again. And guess what we're talking about today? TV, movie, video game, toy, and food reviews. And boy, do we have a lot to cover. From the season finale of... We have a lot of animes and Netflix films to cover, as well as the most recent releases of trailers and what went down and what we saw at San Diego Comic-Con. So buckle up, hold on tight, and let's have some fun. And we're back. So we are doing TV, movie, video game, and trailer, toy, and food reviews. So in this segment, I wanted to go over the Netflix miniseries called Man vs. Bee. Oh my God. Starring the legendary Rowan Atkins, who we famously know for playing the legendary nonverbal comedic character, Mr. Bee. And here's another fact about him. He was the voice of Zazu in Lion King. So I'm going to go over this by saying, man, it was hilarious. It was fun. So the basics of the story is, the main character played by Rowan Atkins, he got a job as a house sitter for a very rich and powerful couple who are, you know, they collect artifacts and historical things, and they resell them to museums and auction them to make money. Apparently, he just recently got a divorce from his wife. She just recently divorced him. And he was supposed to spend the weekend after he got off work with his daughter. Now, apparently, it's revealed that he over-obsesses with things and he is kind of clumsy, like his other character, Mr. B. He's somewhat clumsy. So he encounters this bee, but before the story starts off with him going to jail, and they ask him, does he have anything to say for himself before he is sentenced? And he said, well, Your Honor, there was this bee. And oh my God. Now, he could have simply got rid of the bee. When the bee went into the oven, he could have just turned it on and that was it. The bee would have been cooked. But he made it a little bit more complicated than he wanted. There were scenes in this film that you could not, in this series, that you just could not help but laugh at. It's a worthwhile show. It's a miniseries. The series ends with him getting out of jail, or finally getting out of jail, clearing up the mess, clearing up everything. He got a pardon. And he actually takes his daughter on the vacation that he promised to take her on. And he sees the same kind of bumblebee sit right next to him while he's just enjoying the view. So he takes out some, thinking that, you know, he learned his lesson and he's just going to let the bee do its thing. So he takes a piece of his peanut butter cracker and puts it on the chair. You think that he learned his lesson. I think he's just saying, you know what, I'm going to be friends to the bee. So all you see is him take a piece of newspaper and start swinging at the bee. He runs into the trailer. So it's like, okay, clearly you didn't learn anything, man. The scene that made it funny, that took the cake, it got to the point where, spoiler alert, in 3, 2, 1, it got to the point where he took his neighbor's flamethrower and burnt the house down trying to kill the bee and still didn't get the bee. The bee just... And he's cackling like an evil madman. And when the couple got home, they just realized the bee just flew right past him and went right outside. So if you look at it from a point of view, it looks like the bee was being malicious. And then there was the situation with the dog. Like, everything they told him not to do, he ended up doing. And he was in a smart house on top of that. He was housing a smart house. So he had to, a manual. And he inadvertently, because he didn't know how to work the things in the house, he inadvertently set the manual on fire because he didn't know how to turn on the stove. So he set the manual on fire. So he had to throw it away. But Man vs. B, I give it a 10 out of 10. It's worth your while watching. So when we come back, we're going to go over another show review. And we're back. So we are doing TV, movie, video game, and trailer reviews. So in this segment, I want to go over the much anticipated first trailer release for Marvel Studios, Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. Now, for me, this is a somber moment. Once again, if I haven't said it before, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. Hell of an actor, hell of a human being. And he was better than most of us deserve. So what's implied for the storyline is they killed off T'Challa. Instead of replacing the actor, they killed the character off, T'Challa, in the MCU, which I have mixed feelings about because the character Black Panther T'Challa is still alive in the comics. So, but here's the thing about comic people. Comics are just like soap operas. Nobody stays dead for long. So from what's implied, we are going to see the first live action of Namor the Submariner. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the character of Namor the Submariner, he is basically the King of Atlantis and Marvel's version of Aquaman. But the difference between them, Namor the Submariner is comic book history's first anti-hero. So we're going to see. So the story is supposed to focus more on Shuri, M'Baku, T'Challa's mother, and the Dora Milaje as a whole. So it's going to be an interesting watch. It's going to be a tough watch considering that they're paying homage to, you know, it's a transitional process. So from what's implied, we're going to see Shuri step up and to become the new Black Panther, which is what happened in the comics, because for a short period in time, she was the Black Panther until T'Challa took the reins again. So we had two Black Panthers. So I want to see if the MCU is going to take that route and bring the character back, recast the character at some point in time. And will Eric Killmonger come back to life? Because this guy, Eric Killmonger, in the comics has come back to life more times than Jesus. You trying to tell me Eric Killmonger colder than Jesus? Not to be blasphemous. But anyway, people, that is my review of Wakanda Forever. As well as we can look forward to Avatar 2. Way of Water, which is supposed to pick up right after some years after the first one, which implied that Jake Sully, the main character, and the original cast are coming back and they're at war. It's implied that they're at war with another tribe as well as with the humans. So when we get more information on that trailer, on that movie, we will come back to it. So when we come back, we're going to get into another TV show. And we're back. So in this segment of TV, movie, video game, trailer, and toy reviews, we actually, at the San Diego Comic-Con Marvel panel, they gave us all of what they got going on for Phase 4 and what's going to start off with Phase 5. So, we are going to get the following. We're going to get She-Hulk, which is going to be a series starting next year. We are going to get Blade, and finally we are going to get Blade 2023, November of 2023. We are actually going to finally get Marvel's First Family live action back where they belong, the Fantastic Four. We are going to get a Thunderbolts film, which basically is, for those of us who do not know, the Thunderbolts are basically Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad. The only difference is they're controlled by S.H.I.E.L.D. and not someone like Amanda Waller. We are going to get an 18 episode series of Daredevil Born Again, which is going to tease the yellow and red suit. That should be interesting, people. We haven't seen a live-action yellow and red Daredevil suit. Maybe we'll get the black and red suit, too. Who knows? Or the more modern, up-to-date version with the hand wraps. So that's what we're getting there. As well as we are getting Sam Wilson's Captain America, New World Order. And from what's implied, maybe we will get the Not My Captain Take Back the Shield story. For those of you who are not familiar with that story, basically, after Captain America handpicked Sam Wilson to take up the mantle of Captain America, he, at some point in time, got his powers, the Super Soldier Serum, he got his powers back. So a lot of people were saying Sam Wilson needs to give back the shield and go back to being Falcon. So a whole hashtag was started saying Not My Captain and or Take Back the Shield. Now, where have we heard that before? Not my president. Basically Marvel was making reference to that. So we have a lot coming. They said MODOK is going to make an appearance in the next Ant-Man and Wasp film. MODOK, with his big head glory. So we could possibly be getting characters that we haven't even seen before. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen. Who could forget the trailer for the miniseries of I Am Groot, which is going to focus on Baby Groot. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen there. So when we come back, people, we're going to get into some TV reviews. And we're back. So we are going over TV, movie, video game, trailer, toy, and food reviews. Oh yeah, and comic reviews. So in this segment, I wanted to go over the much anticipated return of season 5 of The Chi on Showtime. And boy, it has been a roller coaster. Now, everyone has seemed to, each storyline has taken a different turn, and it's getting back to the Chi's roots and a lot of calls back to the original season 1. Kevin, he actually found himself a new girlfriend. Potential girlfriend, he likes her, whatever the case is, they go to the same school. And Papa apparently, he is being trolled and, dragged on social media for something he said at a school rally. Jake, on the other hand, he's trying to find something that he's good at. And he actually may have discovered a talent that he didn't even know he had. Him and Gemma have hit a snag in their relationship. Even got to the point where Gemma is starting to question if she made the right choice of leaving Kevin for Jake. Now, basically, I can say Gemma did what a lot of typical girls do. They like the bad boy. They like the bad boy image. They like all of that. So, and Jake is one of those dudes that it was just something for him to do. He wanted something that he couldn't have. But that's besides the point. So their storyline has taken an adult turn. So Trigg, we actually find out this season, his real name is Victor. And he's been tasked with running for mayor. And guess who comes back to town? Duda. And Duda is not alone. He gets help from the Grim Reaper himself, Q. Now, Q is a character from the first season who is the son of Jason, the kid who was originally killed in the first season. So, we are reintroduced to the character who killed Ronnie in two seasons ago, Bagari. And he comes to the center and he gets into a fight. Now, this is the same Bagari that killed Ronnie, is walking around. He got into a fist fight with Jake that he got into a verbal altercation that resulted in Jake getting beat up by the cops, if you remember that. Meanwhile, Emmett and Tiffany have officially gotten a divorce, and Tiffany moved in with the side dude, the weed guy, where Emmett looks like he's getting back together with Keisha. Now, if you remember Keisha and Emmett used to fool around in the first season. So it's like it's going back in that direction. I'm just going a broad stroke over what's happened in the season so far. So Trigg, aka Victor, he's running for mayor, and he didn't decide to run for mayor. They basically appointed him to run for mayor. So, but he had a criminal record, so that's where Duda came in, and he got his wife to make his criminal record basically poof go away. So, and Trigg and Jake's mother have come back into the picture. Now, this is a question that a lot of us have had since season one, like where was their mom? And she got a lukewarm reception, as expected. But as it goes along, we are seeing that she has changed for the better. So meanwhile, Trigg's friend that got out of prison last season, who was more enlightened now, he got himself a girlfriend of his own. He's played by Jason Weaver. Now, those of us who don't know who Jason Weaver is, if you're familiar with the show Lion King, he was the voice. He's the one that did the singing for I Just Can't Wait to Be King. So now that you're familiar, oh yeah, and he was the older brother that was on Smart Guy. So now that we've gone over that. So, oh yeah, Emmett's dad and Emmett's mother apparently have gotten back together. And she broke up with her young boyfriend, in the most unceremonial way. So we find out that the girl that Kevin's parents took in, he went looking for her brother, who is played by Chicago rapper Mike Vice Mensa. I hope I'm saying his name. Turns out he's in jail. So now, Kevin's parents are trying to get legal guardianship over her. So, right now the season is in flux. So season 5 is really doing a lot of callbacks to the first season. And I'm enjoying it so far because it's bringing out real world topics and real situations. So when we come back, we're going to go over another TV show. And we're back. So we are doing TV, movie, video game, toy, and food reviews. So in this segment, I want to go over season 2 of P-Valley. Oh my God. I can't get enough. I really cannot get enough of this season. So the season starts off with episode 1 picks up, starting off with what's going on with Everyday Times coping with the coronavirus. So they came up with something new called Pussyland, where it's a car wash and strip club. So we actually got a little bit of backstory, a little bit more backstory of Uncle Clifford and why he, his ties to his club, the Pink. Apparently, it was his grandmother's and his mother's and his grandmother's mother's and so on and so forth. He practically grew up in that place, so to speak. So, of course, he has emotional ties to it. And we also got a backstory, official backstory, on possibly the most, one of who had a character who has become a fan favorite. We got backstory on Mississippi, aka Keyshawn. And I love how this season so far they have addressed topics in the black community like homosexuality, sexual identity, domestic violence and the abuse and the psychological damage, but it also has indirectly addressed something that has possibly been one of the biggest banes of my childhood, colorism and classism. It addressed that in one go. We also see that Little Murda has, you know, has a past with one of his fellow gang members, Big T. And it also deals with childhood traumas as well. And of course, we're watching for the strippers. So we're introduced to three new characters this season that work at the club. We have Whisper and Roulette. Now, for those of us who don't know who Roulette is, she's the actress that plays Wanda on Snowfall. And her character is true to form. I don't know if she likes playing these kind of characters or what, but there was a scene that I had to take a double take. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And she violated one of Uncle Clifford's rules. Contrary to popular belief, there are no hoes in this house. If you hoe, you out the dough. And you can't blame Uncle Clifford. So then we have Haley's character. Now Haley, last season, she's the one that bought the Pink and got it off the auction block. And she makes it clear that if you can't give her $10 million, she's not selling the Pink. And Andrew, it's a lot of stuff. But so far, I like this season. I look forward to the next episode where the Pink does another reopening for the umpteenth time now that they've brought it up to COVID code standards. So this season is hitting it out of the park in more ways than one, and I find out that they're in talks to renew it for a third season. And stars would be fools to cancel P-Valley. So when we come back, I'm gonna go over another streaming movie. And we're back. So in this segment, I wanted to go over the new version of Pretty Little Liars, a show that used to be on ABC Family, but now it is being streamed on HBO streaming service. So, honestly, it's a worth your while show. Let's go over the first three episodes. So, the story starts off in the year 2000. So, basically now, the year 2000s are going to be looked upon as the 80s. How most of us looked at the 80s when we were kids. And it started off with about six friends, and they watched this girl fall to her death. And basically, they don't call 911. Apparently, this girl was bullied. Once again, a show talking about the bane of my childhood, bullying. So, anyway, years later, those girls have daughters of their own. And apparently, a ghost from the past comes back and starts harassing them. And starts doing impractical jokes that causes suspensions and all types of stuff. And it focuses on one girl who apparently got pregnant, who has a teenage pregnancy going on right now. And she was friends with a bully named, conveniently, Karen. And this Karen had a twin sister. So apparently a flyer from the party that her mother and her mother's friends went to that caused that girl's death was sent to her, was delivered to her, and the mother committed suicide. So it was, me personally, the first three episodes, I'm gonna finish watching it, but it's giving me, the show so far is giving me I Know What You Did Last Summer vibes. And it's really good. It's like a good mystery little thing. And it shows real consequences of actions, because I like how they're talking more about bullying in school, how if you push somebody too far, they're gonna push back. And I keep saying I'm gonna do an episode talking about bullying. But so far, I give the first three episodes of Pretty Little Liars a 10 out of 10. I don't know why I didn't get into this show earlier, but anyway, when we come back, I'm gonna get into another TV show that I, not a TV show, sorry. I am going to go over the movie Prey. And we're back, so we are going over the movie Prey, which serves as a prequel to the Predator franchise. And boy, it was worth every second. This movie deserved to be seen in theaters because that's how great it was. Now, spoiler alert, okay, you were warned. So, the movie focuses on a Native American young lady who wants to be a hunter, but because she is born female, they discourage her. So we see the Predator coming to the planet Earth, and she interprets it as a Thunderbird. Now, the Thunderbird is a mythical creature that is in Native American culture, and she looks at it as that, not knowing, well, we the audience know what's about to happen. And it makes a lot of callbacks to the original first two movies that came out in the 80s. If anything, it is just as, or possibly better, than the movie that, the first two that came out in the 80s. My humble opinion, people. It makes a lot of callbacks to not just the Dark Horse Comics storyline, but as well as the movies we have seen. And completely erase Alien vs. Predator. Thank God. I mean, Alien vs. Predator wasn't that bad, but yeah, we'll just leave it there. So, anyway, so the Predator comes to the planet Earth, and he starts, you know, watching the animals on the planet to see which is the most deadly and which is he's gonna hurt. Which one he's going to hunt. Now, the main character, she encounters the Predator multiple times, and he doesn't touch her, he doesn't do anything to her, because he does not deem her a threat. Because as little as it's known about the Predator species, aka the Yachua, as they are called, if they do not deem you a threat, they are not going to hunt you. Like, if you don't have a weapon, they're going to walk right past you. If you're someone that is sick, or you're not able-bodied, as far as they are concerned, you're not a threat, they will give you a pass, unless you attack them. So, throughout the movie, it touches on colonism, imperialism, and talks about how the first settlers came to America and basically were hunting buffalo for sport. Whereas Native Americans, the only reason they hunt is for food and to protect themselves. They don't just go out there for the sake of going out there. It's basically showing that the colonizers were no better, and the Predator was basically the same thing. All in all, I give it a 10 out of 10. It's worth your while. It's available on Hulu right this minute. And when we come back, we're going to go over some more stuff. And we're back. So we are doing TV, movie, video game, toy, and food reviews. Sorry, that's my time. So in this video, in this segment, I want to go over the first season of the new Netflix anime called Bastard. Now, before I recommend this, because I enjoyed it for what it is, let me make this abundantly clear to the parents. Discretion is advised. This is not for kids. This show is, this is definitely not child friendly. But the synopsis is, apparently there was some kind of war with wizards and stuff. And there was this one dark wizard that wanted to take over the world, but he was stopped. And basically by a bunch of priests, and they imprisoned his soul in a little boy. And the only way he can be freed is by the kiss of a virgin. So they were being attacked by dark forces, and this girl, who was supposed to be, like, you know, an older sister to him, guardian, she kissed him and freed this guy. And, oh my god. It's worthwhile, but, like, the lewdness, like, we're, like, a lot of stuff is implied here. But Bastard is actually worth your while checking out. If you like action sequences, a lot of action sequences, and you like mythological styles of entertainment, this is for you, but it's not for kids. So parents, please use your discretion. And while we're at it, I'm gonna go over another anime. Well, it's not really new per se, because it was big in the early 2000s, but it got canceled. Shaman King. Netflix finally released Shaman King. And they made slight changes here and there compared to, like, the English version that we watched in the early 2000s on Fox Kids on Saturday mornings. But it's a worth your while watch. And we still get, like, the Goku Vegeta dynamic between the main character Yo Asakura and his rival, because I can't even say they're enemies, they're rivals now. But it's a really good anime. It's a worth your while. I haven't finished it yet. I'm still, like, on the 30th episode. But those two animes are available on Netflix, so feel free to check them out. So when we come back, I'm going to get into some trailers and some more other things that we should be talking about. And we're back. So I wanted to go over some trailers that were released recently. So we have gotten a trailer for AMC's new interpretation of the classic film by starring Brad Pitt, Christian Dunst, and Tom Cruise, Interview with the Vampire. We are getting an up-to-date version. And apparently, Louis is going to be portrayed by an African-American male. I am interested to see how that is going to play out. I'm interested to see it, so look out for my review of that show here. As well as next week, we will finally get to watch Tekken Bloodline, another Netflix anime, which focuses on the storyline of Tekken, and it shows Jin Kazama and what happened to his mother, and how the Tekken tournament was even started. So I'm anticipating watching this. As well as next week, we finally get to see Power Book 3 Raising Kanan Season 2. Now let's get into what happened at the ending of Season 1. Basically, Raquel, Kanan's mother, made it abundantly clear that she's trying to build a drug empire. Kanan has to go into hiding because he shot an officer wearing the family's adversary, Unique, portrayed by Joey Badass. Little does he know that that is his father that he shot, his actual biological father. But the trailer for the upcoming season shows Kanan is second doubt of, like, you know, questioning himself, is he really cut out for the criminal lifestyle? Now, if you question yourself for doing something or feel that what you're doing isn't working out, that means you're doing it the right way. Because nothing in life that you want, that you aspire to be, is supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be easy, sorry. Including becoming a career criminal. So I'm interested to see what they do with a young jukebox, the younger jukebox, now that her first girlfriend died as a result of an overdose from the crack that her family sells, and how the older uncle, her father, gets out of jail, and apparently jukebox mother decides to make an appearance. So let's see how that's gonna play out. As well as, I'm happy to bring you news that Power Book 2 Ghost has officially done filming, and they're ready to wrap it up. I'm ready to see what's gonna happen there. As well as, I'm waiting for the show Heels to return, which focused on two brothers that owned a wrestling company, an independent wrestling company. I'm waiting to see how that plays out. Waiting for that. Oh yeah, I almost forgot to review another show. So we got one more show to review, and then we are going to wrap it up. And we're back. So we are going over TV, movie, video game, trailer, and toy food reviews. So in this segment, I am going to go over the much anticipated Disney Star Wars series Kenobi, which focuses on Obi-Wan Kenobi did after the fall of the Jedi Order. Now, this was a very good take on it, and this is something we anticipated because we read about it in the comics. And he had many adventures under the guise of his name Ben. So we actually found out where the name Ben came from, because his name is Obi-Wan Kenobi. So where did Ben come from? So that was his alias, and he worked in a factory on Tatooine. Now, the reason he was stayed on Tatooine because he watched over a young Luke Skywalker and his aunt and uncle. He just watched over him from a distance. Now, his aunt and uncle, they were resentful of Obi-Wan because, well, they kind of blamed him for how his dad turned out, which it's not really his fault, kind of his fault, not his fault at the same time. But hey, it happens. You know what I'm saying? So we also get to finally see live action Inquisitors and exactly how Order 66 affected the entire galactic situation. It was really good because we saw basically Obi-Wan had PTSD from his last battle with his former apprentice / friend Anakin turned Darth Vader. So he has PTSD, and he's been living in a cave, and he lives in a cave mostly. So we also see other Jedi that have been in hiding since the call of Order 66. For those of you who don't know what Order 66 is, it was a kill switch that was basically implanted into the clone army, and it basically made them turn on their Jedi master. And we also got a callback to the clones because in, I believe, episode 2, spoiler alert, we actually see a homeless clone on the corner on the streets begging. Like, he's got his hand out asking for change, and he's still wearing his clone armor. But obviously that's not Captain Rex, because we saw what became of Captain Rex, the Bad Batch. And I'm looking forward to season 2. We actually saw a trailer for that. I'm looking forward to season 2 to see where it goes for the Bad Batch without their brother Crosshairs. So it was really good. We actually saw the temple massacre, the Jedi Temple massacre, from the point of view of a youngling, and that youngling grew up to be an Inquisitor. And she only became an Inquisitor to get close to Vader so she could try and kill him, because he did make an attempt on her life as well. And she was a youngling. But Vader remembered her, but she thought that he didn't remember her, because they haven't seen each other for years. I mean, it's been 10 years, you know what I mean? And that fight between her and Vader, I was just saying, like, look, run, girl, run. You are out of your league. Like, you didn't complete your training. Like, her training wasn't complete and vast enough to take somebody like Vader. Like, this is the same guy who took down Count Dooku, a.k.a. Darth Tyrannus. And Darth Tyrannus, before he left the Jedi Order, was one of the two best lightsaber fighters, because he had mastered all forms, and he was Master Yoda's last student. So, and Vader killed him. So, who do you, like, you didn't even complete your training. You really think you thought you were going to beat him? Now, for those of you who are being racist towards the character, the actress, Moses, I'm going to say this to you. You people are the reason why we can't enjoy this. It's people like you why we can't enjoy. We can't just enjoy it. Because of people like you. Ignorant shitheads like you. Furthermore, you are aware that George Lucas based the physique of a female Twi'lek on a black woman, right? You also should be aware that if something would have happened to Master Yoda earlier on in this mythos, Mace Windu, portrayed by a black man, would have been the most powerful character in the Star Wars mythos in terms of the Jedi, right? I swear, you racist people ruin a lot of things. Why we can't just enjoy it. That's why I say social media is a gift and a curse. But anyway, moving on from that. I enjoyed the 6th series. Oh, yes. And we got the best cameo appearance that we had been waiting for. Not only did we get a flashback of Obi-Wan versus Anakin training, it showed us that Anakin, in terms of fighting skill, is the better fighter than Obi-Wan. He's the better fighter. But Obi-Wan is the smarter fighter. Obi-Wan uses his head more than skill and brawn. And a guy that can use his head over a guy that relies on just pure skill, the guy that uses his head is always going to come out on top, regardless of what you do. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. So I give the Kenobi series 10 out of 10. I'm looking forward to season 2. Oh, before I forget, the cameo appearance that we needed. The Force Ghost appearance of Obi-Wan's former master, Qui-Gon Jinn. I loved it. I was happy to see that. That was a nice little callback, and it brought everything full circle. So I give the series a perfect 10 out of 10. I can't wait for season 2. Hopefully, if they do season 2, which they left room for season 2, I would like to see a cameo appearance of Black Chrissy, the big Wookiee that made his appearance in the Boba Fett storyline. Him and Obi-Wan had a fight, and that's how he got a scar over his left eye. So I'm wondering if Obi-Wan used a blaster to do it, or did he use his lightsaber? Because remember, Obi-Wan is being hunted by the Galactic Empire, because he's one of the few Jedi masters left alive. So I'm going to end this episode here. When we come, my next episode, I'm going to do part 3 of the 48 Laws of Power. You guys are loving it, so I'm going to keep it coming until we cover all of them. Until then, always seek truth, rage against the machine, love, peace, and chicken grease. Deuces!